Begin Hilchos Kibud Av Ha'Em. So this is found in Yerdeya Simin Reish Mem. So the Shulchan Aruch says, going through the Sifim here, that Tzarech Li Zahir Me'od B'Kavod Aviv V'Imo U'V'Moram. A person has to be very, very careful about honoring their parents, both their mother and their father. If you look for a second at the Gilyan Marasha on the side, the Gilyan Marasha has an interesting discussion here. He says that Katan Shehika Aviv B'Yaldusoi, minor, Rachmanel Atzlan, hit a father. Tov lo shiakabil al atmo eza davar l'tshuva ulechaparok shiagdil. He should take upon himself some level of tshuva and kapara for when he gets bigger. Hagos shulchan aruch arachaim sof simin shin mem gimel. So this is very interesting because normally we say that a child is not held accountable for his actions. Yes, there's a certain level of chinuch, but not to have to pay or do some type of kapara for this. But here he says, you have to do some type of kapara for doing something incorrect when you're a child to your parent. So he says there are other cases we have. Umatzinu onesh lekatan bibal shivcha charufa ayin hagos memonio self per gimel misur bia, that a katan is ba and a shivcha charufa, which the Gemara in Krisa says a shivcha charufa. There's a machlokas what exactly shivcha charufa is. But let's just assume right now one of the days is there's a shivcha kananis that was miyuchedes to an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is permitted to be with a Shivcha Kananis, so this was singled out to be for an Eved Kanani, somewhat level of an Ashish-ish to a certain extent. So if a Katan was Baal Leha, so he's a Chayiv to do, he's a Chayiv in Onesh. And he says further in the Gilyan Marsha, V'gam Katan Shechavil, a Katan who hit, who damages, Yesh Omrim, the Yishalim L'chsheyagdil, when he gets bigger he has to pay back. This is found in Shilti Giburim, a Parakates Regal. It's also brought down, I think, in the Hagosa Shri there. So we do see instances where Katanim are responsible to pay, or they're punished for their actions when being a Katan.
The damage is bodily damage, or it's either property or body?
Remembering the context here, I believe it's either one.
Right?
I think it's either one. I think so.
Not out of here, but we make him anyway.
Yeah, I don't think we make him. The machlok is whether we make him or we suggest. I can't remember.
I'm saying, but it's not an absolute chiv that he would have to, but we encourage him to.
Correct. But I think that goes as Shri. I didn't look it up. I think he has a formulation of some sort there. There might be a chiv when he gets older, which is a chiddush that he's required to. Okay, the Rama writes now, Umikomakom ein bezdin kofin al mitzvahs kibud av. You can't force. Now, normally we have a concept, we discuss this on Sunday a little bit, one of the nafkah minis between mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro, ben adam l'chaveiro, about kofin al ha-mitzvahs. So the Gemara says you can be kofin, a person refuses to do lulav and to do sukkah or to do matzah, imata, we're kofin alav ad shetet se nafsha. We force him, we hit him, we beat him until he's willing to or he dies. So the Rama writes, this is based on the Gemara, that when it comes to kibud av ha'em, ein bezdin kofin al mitzvahs kibud av ha'em. There we don't enforce it. Why? Dehavile mitzvahs asei shematan tzchar betzida. This is just an interesting principle the Gemara has, that when the tzchar is written betzida, it says kabeyas zevicha vetimecha, and it says lemanya yarich yamim. I forget exactly the language, but it's arichas yamim is the guarantee, the tzchar. The pasuk mentions, so whenever the tzchar is mentioned in the Torah, you can't be kofin alav. Shein bezin kofin alav. So that's a principle. You can't enforce kibud av ha'em. There is a very long taz that we're not going to go through, but if you just look at the Be'er Heitav, what he does is, Be'er Heitav does what Mishabura does, but a couple hundred years earlier. So he summarizes the taz in Sivkat and Aleph, and he says, kofin, v'ataz kasu b'shem atosos, dein kofin kfiya gadola. What it means is, when he says ein kofin by kibud av ha'em, it means don't do a serious type of enforcement. You can't force him to the point where you may kill him. But you can do a little bit of a push, a little bit of encouragement to do the mitzvah. It's a kfiya ktsas, but not a kfiya gedola like by other mitzvahs. Okay, Shulchan Aruch now writes in Siv Beis. Ezu Mora, what's an example? What's considered fearing a parent? Lo yamod bimkoma yishim yuchad lo lamod sham besod zekeinim imchaveiro. Let's say at a certain area where you'd hang out, I don't know, in shul, and his friends would hang out in the corner of the lobby and talk, you can't stand in his place. I'm not sure if we have a good model for that nowadays. Malcolm Yuchalo Lispalo, or to daven, you know, where he davens, he has a set Malcolm, you shouldn't sit or stand in the place where he davens. To sit in his seat in the house would be a violation of Yir Asa'av. Lo sosir dvarav, not to contradict what he says. Velo machria as dvarav bifanova. And this is also very, very important. And I don't know if people really appreciate this so much, but he also, you shouldn't agree with them, or you shouldn't, you know, say, oh, Abba, Daddy, Tati, I agree with what you say. If I think my father's correct, you don't say, oh, I think what you're saying is correct. That's inappropriate. I don't need my child to tell me, or my father doesn't need me to tell him that he's correct. That would be disrespectful as well. Of course, not to call him by his name. Lo b'chayiv, lo b'mosa, whether alive, whether dead. Ela omer, Abba Mari, my father, my master, my teacher, that's how you should say. Let's say, Hayashem aviv kishem achem. Let's say it's a common name. Let's say the father's name is Reuven, and many people have the name Reuven. So then, how are you supposed to call your friend Reuven? So, Mishana Shemam, you call him Ruvi or something like that to avoid mentioning your father's name. Imhusham, Imhushem Shupali, if it's a unique name, Shena Kol Ragilin Lekros Bo, if it's some type of name that people are not usually calling him. So you called your friend Reuven Ruvi instead of your father's name of Reuven, to so people shouldn't think you're calling your father by his first name. Aval, the Ramah adds, Aval Shem Shiragilin Bo Mutta Likros Acherim Shlobafana. But he does say if it's a common name and your father isn't present, so then you're allowed to. So let's say your father's name is Reuven, and your father's not there, so then you can call your friend Reuven. But let's say your father's there. You're trying to get attention from your friend Reuven. You shouldn't call him Reuven when your father's present. Call him Ruvi or some other name that they know won't be used to call one's father.
I understand what that means. Whose name is Peli?
If you give you're calling your friend Ruvi, which no one calls, a strange name that you would never call your father. So it's clear that you're not referring to your father. That nickname, you're referring to your friend Reuven, who you're now calling Ruvi, just to not mention your father's name.
They're very strict against nicknames.
No, it's not a nickname where you're calling a guy, Meatball or something. You're calling the guy a nickname of his name itself. My name is Yonason, and it's Yoni. That's not a nickname. It's only a nickname where it's not part of his name. That's a Moishi and Moshe. That's not a nickname. Okay, so if you look at the Shach, Sifkat and Beis. He says on top here, V'lo soser dvarav, bein shacholik alav, bein shomer shalacholik alav. Whether you're arguing on your father, or you're saying to the one who's arguing to your father, niran dvarecha, you say you agree with the other guy against your father, soser dvarav. That's considered contradicting your father's words. So, you know, father and Reuven are having a fight, having an argument, and you say, I think Reuven's correct. So I didn't say to my father he's incorrect. I said Reuven is correct. That also is considered contradicting your father. V'nira says the Shach, this soser dvarav aser af shelo b'fanav. It's aser even if the father's present to ever contradict him.
The fathers can be wrong, right?
They can be wrong. Yes.
They can't.
Exactly right. Well, we'll see the interesting discussion here in the Taz about how to go about doing that if your father a little bit. But yeah, fathers can be wrong, but it doesn't mean you should say something or can say something. Okay. So if you look at the Taz, Sifkat and Gimel, he writes, Niran Divrei Abba, B'tur Sayim, the Tur concludes, Shenira Kimachria Divrei Av. The Tur oftentimes will say, I think my father's right. The Tur was a son of who? The Rush, and oftentimes he quotes his father, the Rush, among many other Rishonim. And at the end, he sometimes writes that my father's correct. So he says, "Ela im yesh lo tshuva lahashiv achokim yashiv." So he says that. Maybe he's not referring to his father at this point. I think the Torah is just saying in general, when a person is agreeing to his father, "Shenira kimachria divrei aviv ela im yesh lo tshuva lahashiv achokim yashiv." If he has a response to those who argue, that's permitted. So you can't say my father's correct, but what you can say is you can respond to someone else's question, who's questioning your father. That's not considered a bimachri, your father. That's just defending your father. So then he writes, V'hadimatzinu ba'tur choshem mishpat, she'atur cholek im aviv, kama pamim. I don't know why he only says choshem mishpat. I think we find many places where the tur argues on his father himself. How could you do that? Hainu shelo b'fanav. So this goes against the shach. The shach says you can't contradict your father even shelo b'fanav. The Taz says, no, Shelo b'fanav is permitted to go against your father, k'mo shekasuv kan, dafka b'fanav aser, but Shelo b'fanav is mutter. U'mikom makom, nir li, says the Taz, dim hu cholek al aviv, V'yesh od acher she'omer ba'al ki'aviv. Let's say, you know, you argue your father and Reuven have a take one side, and you take a different position, and you argue on your father. So he says, who wrote to lochiach lichtov daito kedasa cholik al aviv, lo yask yashem aviv, ela shem ha'acher kem shiyucha la'asas derech kavod yaseh. So you want to agree to one of them. You don't say, I agree to my father, because your father didn't need you to agree to him. So you should say, like, you're agreeing to the other guy who's taking the same position as your father. So you see, again, they're very sensitive about being machriya, your father, and being so sir, your father. Look at the Pischei Tshuva now. Two interesting halachas here. So he says, Sifkatan alaf, lo sosir dvar, a person shouldn't contradict his father. So what happens if you're learning with your father? Or you're learning with your son? Can you not have a question and answer? Could you make a suggestion and he can't ask a question? That takes away half the learning. So Ayin B'Sefer Atmos Yosef, the Atmos Yosef is one of the Achronim on Kedushin. Who wrote the Atmos Yosef again? I don't remember who wrote it. What was his name? I can't remember. Okay. Kedushin Daf Lamed, he writes, Shekosuv Dehaben Im Ha'av Yecholin Lahak Chosu Latarit. They could ask questions and answer each other. That's part of normal learning. And they could come to a conclusion. So what's considered so says Dvarv? If your father takes a position, he concludes some way, and then you argue on his psak, that would seem to be so says Dvarv. Or even outside the world of halacha. It could be in non-halachic decisions. But in terms of having a conversation, having a debate, going back and forth to come to a maskana, that's called learning, and that's actually going to be permitted. Now, Pischei Tshuva writes, in Sifkat and Beis, this is I do not know this halacha, but the Pischei Tshuva writes, Lo yikarein b'shmo. What?
Is it better that way?
No. I think it's very easy to get around this. Very easy. People should incorporate.
Maybe
try. What?
I think it should be before
you close out your ears?
Before you
okay.
Get up and go out.
Okay, right. So he says, sho'alim mimenu ben miata, who are you the son of? In other words, what's your father's name? Mutter lomar lem ben Reb Ploni ani. As opposed to saying your father's name directly, say Reb Ploni. So when I get asked to get an aliyah, my name is, I say Yonatan ben Yamin ben Reb David Noah Halevi. I write Reb, based on this Pischei Tshuva. Many people who don't know this halacha will call my father Rav David Noach. They don't know my father's not a rabbi. He's a very wonderful guy. He's not a rabbi. He doesn't have a smicha. I'm not calling him Rabbi. I'm calling him Reb, based on this Pischei Tshuva. If you go to a lot of shuls in Brooklyn, they'll call everyone Reb. Even the Reb Ploni, Ben Reb Ploni, I assume they do this just to get people accustomed to saying Reb, so when they tell them what the father's name is, they say Reb beforehand to fulfill this din of Pischei Tshuva of not saying your father's name the way it is. That wasn't too hard, right? We could do that. No? You don't like it?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, fine. Okay, look at the article book, the Fifth Commandment. The Shulchan Aruch writes. Shulchan Aruch writes. Where are we now? Siv Gimel. The Mechaber writes.
If your father is always called by an English name.
Interesting question. I didn't see that distinction. You're assuming the English name has any meaning to it.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody calls him by their name.
Could be. I don't know. I didn't look into it enough. Maybe. I'll mention something else interesting here. I think the Aruch HaShulchan says this. I didn't look this up. I've heard this in the name of the Aruch HaShulchan. About sitting in your father's seat. So let's say your father comes to you for a meal. So now the Aruch HaShulchan says it's covered to put your father in your seat, to have him sit at the head of the table. The Aruch HaShulchan, I believe, says this. I don't know if this is practiced by people. I've only seen this in my brother-in-law do this. But I don't know if other people do this. I don't do this in my own home.
But he has his own seat.
Send them on the other end. That's your father-in-law. But anyways, interesting Aruch HaShulchan. I don't know if this is the common practice. I don't think it is. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Gimel, Ad Heichan Moram. So what about how far does one have to go? What's the extent one has to show fear to their parents? Haya haben lavush chamudos, the person, son rather, is wearing a beautiful clothing, a very nice brand new suit. The Yoshi Barosha Kal, he's sitting in front of the tzibor, he's the president, he's even the rabbi, let's say. Ubo aviv avimo, he's giving a drasha, let's just make it more dramatic. and his mother and father come up to him in the stage, and everyone's there, he's listening to the shir, v'karu begadav, and they tear his clothing, v'yiku, they start hitting him, arosho, whacking him over the head, v'yarku b'farm, they're spitting at his face, lo yachlim osam, don't embarrass your parents, ele yishtok, be quiet, v'yira min ha-melech malchei ha-melechem, sheitziveyu b'kach, and fear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you stand there in silence and not respond to your parents. Fascinating. The Shach does point out, however, Sifkat and Dalad, the Karo Begadav Miu Mutter Letavo Bedin. You can still take him to Din Torah. He tore your clothing. It's a very nice $2,000 suit he just ripped. You could take him to Din Torah, but at the same time, don't react, don't get angry, and certainly don't hit him back. We'll discuss on Sunday. We're going to do the topic of Lifnei Iver. So these are one of the areas of Lifnei Iver that Gemara talks about in Makos, that Gemara Makos says a father should never hit a child because, aside from it being abusive. But the Gemara says because it's Lifnei Iver, because it's going to cause perhaps the child to hit back, which is a serious violation. So it's Lifnei Iver. The Gemara says in Kedushin as well that a parent should not also try to test the anger, and even not hitting, but test the anger in some way of a child, because that's also Lifnei Iver to see how he might react. So even mitzad the parent, you can't be doing this, but if you're the recipient, you're the child, and you experience such a terrible thing, you can't respond.
So why is that not? Why is taking the father to Basin, why is that less? Doesn't apply to Kibud or Yira? It's like, isn't that taking your father to Basin? Is that like embarrassing him?
It could be. But Dina Mamas is a different world. We'll see in just a couple of Sifim here that the child is not obligated to pay out of pocket necessarily for his parents' needs. The parents have to pay for it, if the parents have the ability. If the parents don't have it, we'll see it's a tzedakah from the children. But dinei mamonos, I have an obligation to use my money to show honor. I need to show honor as an individual, but not with my pocket. So therefore, he cost me $2,000, so you have the right to claim the money. It could be, I don't know if Bezin would be an embarrassing thing necessarily. Anyways, I don't know how it worked back then. Was it considered so embarrassing? It wasn't on the news. It wasn't like, oh, Reuven's taking his father Shimon to the Bezin. It could be. I don't know how embarrassing it was. But that, it was done in a respectful manner. It's done in a way that it's a formal a bezdin. So I don't know. Apparently, it's not considered a lack of kavod. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch writes now in Sif Dalet. Ezehu kavod, what's considered honor? Up until now, we've been discussing Yira. What's considered kavod? Machilo mashkeu, you feed him if he needs to be fed, if he can't feed himself, or even if he can, but he wants to be served. He wants someone to feed him grapes, let's say. Or mashkeu, give him a drink, pour water down his throat. Malbich, or get him dressed if he need, or mechasa, to cover him up, put a blanket over him if he's cold, machnis and motzi, take him in and out, walk him around the block, whatever he needs, v'yunenulo b'sever panim yafosin, give him whatever he needs with a happy face, a warm welcome, shafilu machilu b'chol yom, p'tumos, v'herulo panim zofos, nena shalof. Let's say a guy is doing everything he can, he's feeding his father all day long, but he's doing it angrily, he's upset about doing that. He loses the entire schar. He actually gets punished for it. It's not just simply about the ma'isa. It's also the derech in which you do this with the sefer panim yafos. That's very fundamental in terms of performing the mitzvah of kibud av ve'eim. The Rama adds v'chein lehepach, the opposite is true as well. Im matchin aviv brechaim v'kavanasa letova k'dei shinatzel aviv midvar kasha yoser mizeh. So let's say what's going on here. If the father is grinding in the mill, as Kavana is for Tova, some good intention here, to save his father from a Davar Kasha, much of what he's trying to describe here, let me just read a little further here, Umidavar Piusim Alev Aviv, Umaralo Shekavana Salatova Achi Yisratzi Aviv Litchon Virchaim Nochel Olam Haba, Yishim Shvenu Bishardvar Misha Shamish Mishamis Rabo. Much of what the Ramah's trying to describe here.
You get him a job.
That's what he means, yeah?
That's looks like it's a hard job, but it's really the same from the job that's much more embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
So then you get slapped. Uh-huh. It was good.
Uh-huh. Okay, even though it's a hard job, but relative to other jobs, it's actually considered easier. Okay, maybe that's what he's describing. I know someone who told me recently that his father's retired and wanted to keep his father busy, so he got him a job doing something like Uber driving or whatever driving it was, some taxi thing, just to keep his father busy. Even though it doesn't seem like the most prestigious job, it's something better than sitting home twiddling your thumbs doing nothing. So there's an Indian of, I guess, getting a father a job and keeping him busy and putting him in a good position of that he's more comfortable. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch writes now, Sif, hey, Zeshem achilu mashkeu mishal av ve'em im yeshlo. a person who feeds and drinks, you don't have to pay out of pocket. You don't have to go grocery shopping from your own bank account. You use their money if they have the money. Vim ein lav, but yesh la'av ben. Let's say the father, mamash, has no money, but the child does have money. So then, kofano, so then you force the son, then he has to go grocery shopping for his parents. Vizon aviv, to support his parents. Kifi mashu yachal, according to what he's capable of. Vim ein leben, eino chayv lachzer. The son also has no money. He's not required to lechaze al psachim v'lachil his aviv. He doesn't have to go door to door to support his father as well. If he's just making it to support his family, he's not required to go above that. But if he has the wherewithal and his father doesn't, then he is required to pay. There's a discussion here in the Taz and the Shach and the next Ramah we're about to see whether this is Bitar Tzedakah or this is Bitar Kibud Avim. So it sounds like from the Taz it's Midin Tzedakah, that the son is the first one who has the opportunity to support his parents. He's the first one to look for Tzedakah. If he has the, but not to make him use all the money, whatever he normally has to give for Tzedakah, whatever Maisik Safmi has, that's what he should use for supporting his parents if he has it. Right, no, Dina Mamanis, you don't have. If the father has, it's not your requirement. But once the father has nothing, so then you're the first address for Midin Tzedakah as opposed to someone else. The Ramad adds now, V'yesh Omrim, there are those who say, De'enu chai litein l'rak mashim chuyov litein l'tzedakah. There are those who say that you only have to give what you normally have to give for tzedakah. So it's unclear if the Ramad is arguing on the Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like the Shulchan Aruch meant the same exact thing. So take a look at the Taz and Shach to see what exactly the machlokas is, if there is a machlokas. But just to be very simple right now, let's assume they're both saying the same thing, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that midin tzedakah, the son has to give, but he does have to give more than what he'd have to give for tzedakah in general. So then the Ramah adds, mikomakom, even yado maseges, if the son has the ability, we're not going to have a minute, it doesn't seem.
We have seven.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You have eight with you.
Nine? Okay.
Nine.
Okay. Okay, so we'll see, I guess. I'll finish in 4 minutes, I guess. If, let's say, the son has the ability, he should be cursed. The guy is a billionaire, and he has the ability to support his father, but he's only giving a little money, whatever tzedakah, bare minimum of tzedakah is. So then we don't look very proudly upon such a person. V'im yesh l'banim rabim, let's say the parents have a lot of children, so then mechashrin l'fi mamon shalhem, they have to split evenly, they all have to share the burden of supporting the parents. V'im miktatsan ashim, if some of them are very, very wealthy, u'miktatsan anim, and some of them are not so wealthy, mechayavim ha'ashim levad, so then only the wealthy ones have to support the parents, and the non-wealthy ones do not have to support them. If you look a little further now in the Shulchan Aruch, finishing off the sif here, avachayv l'chabdo begufo. But what you do have to do, if a person doesn't have the money to support the parents at all, but you do have to, with yourself, with your body, to honor them, even though it means you're going to be missing work to go visit your parents and take care of their needs, which would mean then you'd have to go around asking for money, so then one would have to do this. There was someone in the shul, actually, I don't know if you know this, I'm not going to publicize this, but he made a tremendous motion nefesh. He went for a few months, and Parnassa is not easy at all for this individual. I think he had recently lost his job, and one of his parents got injured, very seriously injured, and he left the country for 3 months to go take care of his parents. Just like he had no money, no job, and he needed to look for one, but he needed to take care of his one of his parents, and for 3 months he left to take care. So that's what the Gemara says here. The Shulchan Aruch says, we should never experience this, but a person who should be mevatam imblacho, and if he needs to go begging for money to do this mitzvah and to support his family, he should have to. But then the Shulchan Aruch qualifies this by saying, v'dafka de'ishla ben mizonos litzizunei hahuyoma. Only if he has money to support his family that day. Aval e lesle, if he has no money to support his family that day, then lo mechayv levatim imlachto lachso apsach. Then he doesn't have to end work. Maybe he's allowed to, but he shouldn't. That wouldn't be responsible to do that. He has to have money at least to support his family for that one day. Should we just get one more sif in here? We have 2 more minutes. Why not squeeze it in? Sif av the Shulchan Aruch writes here, hayatzarech al shum davar b'ir. This is interesting. Let's say you need something in the city. And you know, they'll, if you say you're the son of Reuven, so they'll make sure that they'll take care of whatever's needed. Even though you say who you are, they'll do it for you. They'll do it for you and they'll do it for your father. Either one. Lo yomar asu li davar ploni bishvili. Don't say, do a favor for me. Lo yomar asu bishvili abba. Do it for my father, because kadei litlos hakavod bav, in order to have him be the one getting the honor that they did this, whatever the maisa is, the cover of the father. So that's how you should do it, to give added honor to your father. Let's do one more. We still have another minute of Zion here. Chayv lamor b'fnei aviv, a person that needs to stand for his father. Vim ha'av talmud b'no, if the father is a student of the son. So the son's the Rebbe, the father is a Talmud. There's a machlokas, a whole discussion in Gemara Kedushim. Kol echad mehem omed mipnei hasheni. Each one stands for the other one. So the Rama adds, Vim haben rotza limchal akvod, of the son, who's now the Rebbe also, wants to be mochel and is a covered harav, he could be mochel l'shamish aviv harishis biyado. He's allowed to, in order to serve his father and be considered just a son and not his father's Rebbe. Deha harav shemachal al kvodo kvodo machal. Rav is able to be mochal nekavod. So v'dafka b'tzina, only if b'tzina in the privacy of their own home. Or afil b'farhesia v'dash b'iro shekol yodim shu aviv. Or everyone knows that that's the guy's father and son. So be mochal nekavod, even though he's a rav of the city, and they see an older man who's serving him. So rather the rav is serving an older man. That's allowed, since everyone knows that that older man is actually his father. If that's yadua. Aval im ha-ben Gadaba Torah, ve'ena aviv dash b'iro. Let's say he's a big Gadaba Torah, the son. And then the father comes to visit from somewhere. No one knows who the father is. So then, ikla meichash lebizayon haTorah. Then no one knows this older man's his father. Then the son, the rabbi, cannot serve his father because it's going to be a bizayon haTorah. Im isbaze ben lifnei ha'av. V'yeshlem laharchik ze mizeh. They should stay away from each other. Shelo yakel shemecha b'chvodu lifnei chaver. They should actually avoid each other, in order that this shouldn't happen at all. And then v'chein asa maharam im aviv. The Rush brings down the Gemara Kedushin, the Maharam Rutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rush. So when the Maharam Rutenberg was appointed to be the Rav of Germany, so he did not see his father. He refused to see his father anymore, since he was the Rav of the entire community. So then he can't serve his father anymore because he had that status, and it would be a big issue. And therefore he hadn't seen his father for I don't know how many years. He avoided the situation entirely.
His father's the Rush?
No, not the Rush. The Rush was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. The Rush writes that his Rebbe, the Maharam Rutenberg, avoided Maharam's father to avoid this whole Shaila, because he, the Maharam Rutenberg, was the Rav of the community of Rutenberg. And finally, I won't read this inside, the Pesach Teshuva has an interesting discussion whether a Summa, a person who's blind, if it's let known that his father walks in, does he have a requirement to stand up, or does he not have a requirement to stand up? Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow.